grace and peace to you in the name of our Savior Jesus, who has come and is coming again, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this first Sunday in Advent is taken from Romans chapter 13. We'll read verses 11 through 14. Paul writes, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Let's just be honest. One of the first things that we think about when we think of Christmas is probably presents. And believe it or not, I want you to think about that as we go about the Advent season. I want you to think about presents. Not the shiny packaged ones you find under your Christmas tree, but even better ones than that. In our sermon series for this Advent season, which again begins today, we are to focus our hearts and minds on the greatest gifts, the spiritual gifts, eternal gifts that God has given to us through his Son Jesus, who was born into this world on Christmas Day. But let's also, as we think about gifts and presents, let's think about the original reason gifts were given at Christmas time. It was to be a reminder and a reflection of the great gift that was given at Christmas, the gift of God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit would bless our meditations on the Savior who came and is coming again. So let me ask you, have you started counting down the days yet? How many days, or should I say, how many shopping days are there left till Christmas Day? I know some stores begin their countdown just after Halloween. The Halloween candy's still in the aisle, and they've got a countdown to Christmas right next to it. That always makes me a little bit nervous. There is a house down the road from me that has a digital clock above a fake snowman in the yard that has a digital countdown, and I drove by it yesterday and said, oh, 22 days and 7 hours. That's coming soon. So today is still about 22 days away from Christmas. We may have an Advent calendar in our house. You open each window for each day of the month of December, so you may have already started counting down the days to Christmas, literally, on your Advent calendar. Especially for children, that countdown, that waiting for Christmas Day to come, it can seem like it takes forever. In fact, isn't that an expression? Slower than Christmas? I remember hearing that somewhere. If it's not an expression, it really sounds great, so you can use it. Slower than Christmas. It's true. With children, it just seems to take forever. Well, we are, like children, looking forward to the coming of Jesus, but not his first coming necessarily. We are also looking forward to his second coming. If the anticipation for Christmas Day makes it hard to wait, then that is nothing compared to the anticipation we feel for this first of our gifts of Christmas, the gift of salvation. Now, to be clear, to start off, and to be technical, the gift of salvation is actually yours right now. The gift of salvation is in your possession now and will be throughout eternity. It's given to you the day that you came to faith, the moment Jesus created faith in your heart. Let me give you a biblical example. The story of Jesus meeting Zacchaeus, the tax collector. What did he say to Zacchaeus after he had converted Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus had faith created in his heart. He expressed it by his words and his actions toward Jesus. Jesus said this to him. Did he say, "After your life is over, on the last day, salvation will come to this house"? What did he say? He said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." So our gift of salvation is ours even today. It was yours the moment you came to faith. Now, obviously, what Paul is talking about here in our text is what we look forward to with such eager anticipation. That day of salvation. The day of our eternal salvation in heaven. Paul writes in the first two verses of our text, "For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand." The night that Paul is speaking of in that verse actually refers to this life. All the darkness, uncertainty, sin, and death that's involved with living life here on this fallen planet Earth. The day refers to our final deliverance, either the last day when Jesus will bring to an end all things, or our last day of life here on this earth, whichever comes first. And like Christmas, the celebration of Jesus' first coming, our anticipation, our excitement as we look forward to his second coming is sky high. But unlike Christmas, we don't know when that day, the day of our salvation, our last day or the last day, we don't know when that day is going to be. However, Paul does have some encouraging words for us in our text. He reminds us, "For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." I want you to think about this thought today and during the Advent season. Think of your life as being one long Advent calendar. Remember, Advent means coming. So during this season, we count off the days until we celebrate Christmas. We should also be counting off the days looking forward to his second coming. And so each day brings us one day closer to our day of salvation. And so for some of us who have a lot more years of life on this earth than others, that day of salvation is much nearer now than it was when we first believed. That is the day that we were brought to faith. For many of us, that was the day of our baptism as infants, as it was for little baby Nolan Gullerud, who was baptized yesterday. For some of us, that means that there are a lot of squares in our Advent calendar of life that have already been turned open. And each one of those days, each one of those squares, is yet another day closer to our Savior. As one hymn writer put it, it brings us a day's march nearer home. So what is it that makes this first gift that we will consider today, this gift of salvation, what makes it such a great gift? Why do we look forward to that gift in particular with such anticipation, such excitement, and such joy? First of all, think about what it means. It means that we are going to be in heaven. And think of some of the things the Bible tells us about heaven. We read these verses just this past Monday at the memorial service for Don Drews. Verses from Revelation chapter 21. This is how John describes the New Jerusalem, heaven. He says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." Everlasting peace in the presence of God himself, with the believers who have gone before us. That is the gift of salvation that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can even see the great value in this gift of salvation by remembering what is not going to be in heaven. Not just that God's going to be there, Jesus will be there, his presence will fill us with joy and peace, but think about what's not going to be there. The next verse of that section of Revelation says this, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. I can't wait. But like an excited child on Christmas Eve night, we must wait. Wait for the advent, the coming of our Lord. And what are we to do as we wait for this great gift of salvation? Paul tells us in our text that we are to be alert. He says, "You know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep." He's not referring to physical sleep there. He's talking about spiritual sleep, carelessness, indifference, apathy in matters of faith and godly living. One Lutheran commentator writes this. He says, "A sleeper does not know where he is or what he is or what hour has struck. He is dead to his duties and his opportunities. He may dream, but he does not know and he cannot act. The Christian life is a constant awaking and waiting life." He makes a good point. The Christian life is not a life of sleep, but a life of awakeness, a life of activity and action, doing the works of God. Besides, when you are excited for something to happen, it is really hard to sleep. You say things like, "I can't sleep," and you just physically can't sleep. Paul reminds us that the day is at hand. Therefore, since we know that day of our salvation is at hand, what should we do while we watch and while we wait? Paul goes on to say we should cast off the works of darkness. And he lists some of them for us. In verse 13, he says, "Orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality and sensuality, quarreling and jealousy." And that list could have gone on and on. All those different sins, things that are works of darkness that take us away, take our focus away from the coming of Christ, and instead tempt us to give up that great gift of salvation that God has won for us. Those are the things that we are to take off, and we're to take them off. The picture there is take them off like old, dirty clothes. On the other hand, Paul says we are to put on the armor of light. And he says, "Let us walk properly as in the daytime." In Christ, we are no longer slaves to the darkness. We are no longer children of the night. We have been robed in Christ's righteousness. We have put on the armor of light. The Bible talks about this armor in another place where Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says this, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." And finally, Paul encourages us in the last verse of our text to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We put on Jesus Christ when we were clothed with him and by him at our baptism. Hear these words from Galatians chapter 3. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." But we also daily need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance, through immersing ourselves in the Word of God, by calling upon him in prayer and doing the works of righteousness that Jesus has called us to do, the works he empowers us to do and has shown us by his perfect example. When our lives are filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are clothed with him, there will be no room for our sinful flesh to gain a foothold. So yes, that day of salvation is at hand. It's a gift that Jesus brought to us by his first coming at Christmas, and a gift he bought for us on his cross. It's a gift he will bring to all of us eternally when he comes again. Are we counting down the days? Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.